Welcome to the teaching ministry of First United Methodist Church and Pastor Steve Kedon. We offer these messages in the hope that the Word of God will comfort the hurting, confront the comfortable, and create new life in us all. Let us now join together and offer our lives to God in worship.
Please take a moment and just open up your bulletin as we dig into the Word on how God is going to change our lives today. And think about what Christmas, this coming event. For the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about Emmanuel, that God is with us. And it's this moment in time where we take a step back and we think about, why did it come to this? How did it get to this place? You know, that through all of the journeys that we've read about in the Old Testament, you know, God working within his people, liberating them from Egypt and giving them a homeland, giving them a king and giving them prosperity, that it just kind of seemed to fall apart. And now we've come to this place of Emmanuel, that God is with us. And what is that telling us about what God is really trying to do, not just 2,000 years ago, but what is he trying to do in our lives today? Advent is a time where God is inviting us to take a step back, to really to pause for a moment, to take a reflection, a moment to just kind of reflect on what's happening, to pause and to think about the direction of your life, to ponder what is happening, to see what God is doing and how God is preparing the future for you. And so we began to think about long time ago in the early parts of Advent. We said, in a world of darkness, and for the last couple of weeks we've seen some darkness. We've seen terrible things that are happening. We have come really face to face with the dark reality of the world in which we live. You know, that there are things about our world and about the brokenness of our dreams and the world in which we live that we need help, that we need somebody to step into our lives. And so into this dark world, God brought forth light. And that light came in as a way of giving you a choice, giving you an option, that it doesn't always have to be the status quo, that you have an ability to choose. That light gave you a new hope, a new direction. If you've ever been in a room that's been dark for a very long time, your eyes will become hypersensitive to the darkness. And whenever the light comes on, one of two things will usually happen. You'll either kind of open yourself to the light, you'll get used to it, or you'll try and block the light because initially there's a change that is happening in your life. And sometimes that initial change is hurtful. But the light has come so that we can see the world in which we live and see a new path and a new direction. Because of that light, because you get an inkling, just a foretaste of what God has in store for you, it bursts forth in a sense of hope and a sense of optimism. God is doing something in our lives. He's doing something through us. And I've got to tell you that this week I've just been amazed and in awe of what happens through this church. It's just, I mean, it's not possible for me in enough time to explain to you all the ways that you're blessing other people. I put out several weeks ago a need by some single moms. And we had so many people just overwhelmingly say, I want to help. I want to be a part of changing their lives. And you have. You've continued to bless people in so many ways because of that hope that God is doing something through us into their lives. And I've heard back from so many of them saying, you have given me and you have restored my faith in the church. Now think about that for a minute. The ability to restore people's faith in what God is doing. We have hope. And out of that hope comes a sense of God is using us. And that brings forth joy. There's a sense of joy, a joy that means that we've overcome, that we can persevere through anything. This morning in our Sunday school class, we were talking about Mary and Joseph's journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem, a journey of about 80 miles. And of course, if you remember the story, you remember Mary is very pregnant. Sometimes the challenges that we face are not always the challenges that we would choose for ourselves, but they're things that God is bringing into our lives to take us to a new place and a new destination. Just because it's hard doesn't mean it's bad. Sometimes we have to choose the difficult in order to get that depth of joy. But it comes to a different place today. We come to the opening and say, all of those combine for something even better. There's a reason why all of this is culminating here at Christmas. And if you remember these three, but you don't remember the last one, you're going to miss the essence of what God is doing. Let me see if I can capture it this way. Something happened this week. I don't know if you've noticed it, if you've watched or not. But all this week, throughout the news, if you've turned on CNN, you know that the news, and rightly so, has been dominated by the events that are unfolding in Newtown. Every time you turn on the news, there is about a story of another funeral. And there's nothing worse. I don't know if it ever kind of gets into your very core. You see these little white coffins being brought out, and you said, how did it get this bad? How did it go so horribly wrong? Right? What happened to our world that this has got to come? But CNN tried to give us all a little bit of hope. They tried to help heal the national identity. And so what they did is they took all of these pictures. I think there were like 27 people that were killed. And they put up all of these pictures, but they put together a montage. Kind of, they went from one picture to another, and they put down the names, and basically, you know what that's like, the birth and the death date on it. And each picture flipped onto the next one, and it spent a little time, and you look, and there's this, you know, these bright-eyed little children, and you kind of say, how do you heal from this? And so I wondered if somebody at CNN, if they got to CNN, said, hey, I want you to put this together, and we'll put it on the news, and maybe it'll bring healing. And I thought, what kind of music do you choose to put together for something like that? How do you heal? How do you help us heal the national identity? And I thought of some songs that are very popular songs. I bet you've all known them. Maybe what we should have done is had that, as it cycled through, we could have played a song by Madonna. I'm a material girl in a material world. Would that have brought healing to it? We love that song, but would it have brought healing? Probably not. Or maybe the song by John Lennon. Imagine that there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. There's no hell below us and above us only sky. As the pictures go one after another. It's really not that hard. But that's not what they chose, is it? I don't know if you've seen it. I don't know if that's what they chose. This is the song that they chose. In the moment of our greatest turmoil and our greatest fears and our greatest anxiety, when all around us is darkness and death, when we don't know where to turn, when the dreams are broken, when a mother or a father has to go up and sprinkle dirt on a grave, where do you turn? What are you going to do? Where do you get answers? We turn as a nation, as a people that are going headlong into secularization, we turn to the sacred. Amazing grace, how sweet the song. It saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. When we have been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we'll no less days to sing his praise than when we first begun. Where do we find hope? Here. Here. For all of those that were grieving the loss of loved ones, for others among you that you know today, they live around you, where will they find hope? Here. This is the only hope that there is. Amazing grace. God has offered it. God began it here. And we become the bearers of that. If you will do so. If you will do so. as we gather and as Dee plays, just listen to the music. Does it not bring to your mind something deeper? There's a sense of tradition about this song. Maybe you've heard it over and over again. And every time you hear it, it reminds you of something deeper. That's what we're in the business of doing, of saying there's a bigger story at work here. I know that we think about all of those children and we say they've all been lost. Not so. According to you, they've been found. And there'll come a day, the Bible tells us, when we will all sing together, and it'll be just like the very first day. Let us now focus on what God is doing among us and through us. Would you join with me as we center our lives on the Word of God? This is God's Word for my life, in this place and at this time. Today, I am a new creation in Christ. I am God's very own, and I believe He has a purpose for my life. As we read through this passage, it centers us on what God is doing through this event. In light of what has happened, the tragedy and the grief, it will center you as to why God has brought Emmanuel to us. I'm reading from John, the first chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through Him all things were made, and without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Now there came a man who was sent from God, and his name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light, but he came only to bear witness to the light. For the true light, that is the light of all mankind, was coming into the world. Now he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, and his own would not receive him. And yet to those who would receive him, to those who would believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, nor the will of a husband, but born of God. And the Word was made flesh, and it dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Now whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Let us pray. Father God, we give you thanks today that we may bear witness to the truth, that we may find the fullness of that light in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. So when we talk about the darkness of our world, we talk about what is happening around the world, we come to a realization that God has begun something profound. It's begun today, or it's begun through Christmas, and it begins to build the rest of your life. What is God doing? If you don't get anything else out of what I'm going to say, if you just kind of tune me out, that's up to you. But I want you to get this. The purpose of Christmas is love. Okay? It's real simple. As a matter of fact, if you don't mind, say that with me. The purpose of Christmas is love. But not as you define it, but as God defines it. We tend to define it differently. When we interact with one another, we define it differently than what God does. There is a feeling that psychologists tell us that every human being feels. It motivates you in your day-to-day activities. It drives you to work more hours at the office. It drives you to have more buying power. It drives your motivation. Whether you're an Aborigine in Australia, whether you are from a tribe from the Amazon or from sub-Saharan Africa, this emotion drives the vast majority of what you do. And that feeling, that emotion, is the feeling of fear. Fear of missing out. Fear of not having enough. Fear of being left alone, of being abandoned. Fear of being a failure. Fear of not having a significant life, or fear of making a fool of yourself. Fear of not fitting in, of not looking like everybody else, of not being included. Most of what you do is driven by that feeling of fear, that anxiety. Whenever you were a little child and you were growing up, there came a time, most people, this happens for most people as we grow up. As you grow up, you get to an age, maybe you're one or two, and everybody usually likes to give you a teddy bear, right? Or something like that. Maybe it wasn't a teddy bear. Maybe it was something else. Maybe you had a blanket that you slept with. It was, what do we call that? It was a security blanket. Why? Because in the middle of the night, when you're frightened, you have your security. You have something to hold on to. But imagine that you're small and you're little, and all of a sudden there comes across a thunderstorm, a terrible thunderstorm. The thunder and lightning, the big booming stuff. All of a sudden, that blanket isn't quite getting it done, is it? You've got some security, but that little teddy bear isn't talking to you, and you need somebody with some flesh and bones on. So what do? You cry out. Mom or dad, somebody, basically you cry out. You don't care who responds. You just want somebody, and you want them fast. And what does mom or dad do? Well, they come down, and they explain to you how thunderstorms build, and there's really only moisture up in the air, and all of that. That's not what they do. What do they do? They wrap their arms around you. My security will be yours. My strength will be your strength. My presence will comfort every doubt and every fear. They wrap their arms around you. When we as a people live in such desperation of fear, and I imagine even some of you, if you've gone to the mall lately, you see people living in fear. Fear of not choosing the right gift, of not looking foolish when somebody opens it up and say, you picked that for me? Of not having enough, of fear of missing out. God wants to restore us to that sense of wholeness, that sense of peace, that sense of security. As we grow older, of course, you think that that goes away, but it doesn't. It only transfers into something else. We give up the teddy bear, we give up the blanket, and we exchange it for what? Insurance. You know, we can wrap our arms around insurance. I've got health insurance, or I've got life insurance. We surround it by possessions. I must be a success if I've got all of this stuff, right? I can't be a failure. Look at everything that I have. We surround ourselves with a bank account, right? Look at how much security I have. I can hang on to that until it gets too much, until the thunderstorm becomes too big and too powerful, that isn't going to get it done anymore. And what happens? We cry out. Who will save us now? Who will save us now? Imagine for a moment, and just put yourself in this position, imagine for a moment that you are one of the wealthiest people that you can imagine. Very wealthy, okay? But you also happen to be somebody that lives in Newtown. Okay? Yeah, but it's okay because you've got insurance, right? You've got a big bank account. Look at all that you have. Who's going to wrap your arms around you now? And so they cry out and say, God, what has happened? And God says, Emmanuel, I will be with you. In our passage today, John is trying to lay out why Jesus came. Why did Jesus come? Because people were living in darkness. They were living in fear and anxiety that comes with darkness. They said, in him was life, and that life is their light. So when we think about Christmas and we think about what it means, it speaks not to just us buying all these gifts. It really comes to the people that are grieving and worried and lost and broken, living in darkness. It's life. It is the fullness of love. Christmas is about how we love one another, how God so loved us that he gave of himself. The first thing that we want to understand about this passage and how it speaks to us is that God is trying to remind us that love awakens a sleeping heart. Love awakens us. See, sometimes if we live in darkness too long, we just become numb to it. It's just the way things are, right? Things will go on just the way they always have been, right? One of the tragedies is that when there, for me anyway, is that whenever there are these national moments of tragedy, people will pour out into the church and say, you know, give us some answers as to why this is all happening. But as soon as the things has passed, we go back to our routine. What God is saying is love like this will awaken your sleeping heart. See, religion, church, is not supposed to be boring or indifferent or kind of apathetic. It's supposed to be energized and excited so that you become energized to go back out into the world and to share that good news. It's supposed to be a movement, a spreading, a power, a strength. It's supposed to awaken us. God's kindness was meant to lead us towards repentance. That love was meant to motivate us to move ever forward, to awaken us to a new world and a new reality. Something is beginning to happen. What happens in Christmas is we get just a glimmer of what God is doing in the big story. So often we look at our little stories and think that that's all that there is. Christmas is saying there is a movement afoot. There is something global that God is beginning to do. And that gives us a sense of hope and a sense of destiny. We recognize that God awakens a sleeping heart. But more importantly, what love does is love heals the wounds of us all, the wounds of a nation. We know that God loves us. We know that when he wraps his arms around us, that whatever terrifies us, whatever doubts or fears that we have, begin to heal. And when we know that God is really there, that God was willing to send his own son, even though we don't know why sometimes these events happen, we know one thing for sure, and that is that God is not indifferent. God cares so deeply that he was sending his son to say, this is how much I care. And that brings healing, and that brings hope. When you are so broken and you are grieving at such a deep and profound level, when your dreams have been dashed and you're not sure what's going to happen tomorrow, one thing is for sure, God's love has never wavered. God came into the world to show us the depth of that love, to offer you a new hope, to awaken you to new possibilities, to heal whatever is bruised and battered and broken and said, it can begin again. And then to move you towards a different path. But more importantly, love makes us complete. We're not complete. We were made for a relationship with God and with one another. We were made to be in a relationship. We were made to express that love relationship. The story is that at the very beginning of all that is known, there was the Trinity. There was an ongoing, endless relationship of unity between the Father and the Spirit and the Son, living in total harmony with each other. And out of the overflow of that joy and that harmony came all that we are. Everything is held together by the joy of that love that existed between the Trinity. We are participants in that overflow. You were created to live in the love of that overflow. If you separate yourself from that overflow, you become not indifferent, you become less human. Slowly and bit by bit, you give up the light that is within you. The image becomes degraded because it was out of the overflow of love. Love makes us complete. It completes us. So when we think about Christmas, we think about what God is doing. He's filling in the gaps. God is awakening us to new possibilities. He's healing the brokenness that we all carry around with us. And he's saying, in me, you will be complete. In Colossians, the first chapter, verse 27, it says, this is the mystery of the ages. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The love of God in you that will complete you. But it'll take you the rest of your life. If you just sit there today and say, well, now I understand what Christmas is all about. Thank you for explaining it. That's great. I now know. The problem is it's gone in here, but it hasn't made it down here. It takes the rest of your life to live that out, to figure out what that means. And that requires effort. That requires some involvement on your part. If the love of God has stirred in your heart, has awakened you to the possibilities, then go that extra step. Take that step. Get involved in something and let God work through you. I can only think about all of those families today. All of the funerals have gone, and now all there is life. All there is going through each and every day. I think about tomorrow. Tomorrow is going to be Christmas Eve. And I wonder about all of those stockings that won't get filled. Not just up in Newtown, but across the United States. All of those changes. And say, God, what do we do? How do we make sense of that? And I hear in the back from the ancient prophets say, and I will be with you always, even to the end of the earth. We take that journey based on the love of God working in our lives and through us into the world. Let us pray. Father God, we have come here today to celebrate what you're doing among us, in our lives, and in the lives of those around us. Help us, O God, to continue to respond faithfully. In Jesus' name, amen.